Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Speaking of, a little Earth, Wind, and Fire. Did they do this song?
They did not.
At Ravinian?
I was waiting for it.
It's not one of their big hit songs, but it is on this show. And now, we'd like to do the song the Dean Richards Show has made famous.
I would have gotten out my video recorder and started recording.
So, got a almost full show today. What do we have for or that takes us off at 12:30 today?
We have some baseball today.
Baseball.
Yeah, that team from the South Side is going to be playing on WGN today because they have a conflict down the dial with the Bears game today.
What a novel concept, yeah. Baseball on radio.
It's pretty impressive, isn't it?
On WGN radio, where God intended baseball to be.
So, yeah, that'll be at 12:30 today.
Okay. I'll pace myself then.
Got to pick up the pace just a little bit.
Well, we have to squeeze in 4 hours into 3.5 today. That's all right. Shawnee, keep
your... We've squeezed 4 hours into 45 minutes one time.
Those are my favorite shows.
The speed show.
The speed dial show.
And the theme music for that.
I like to provide our listeners all of our regular features, no matter how long our show is. And on those
each one taking 45 seconds.
Well, sometimes you got to do, you know, sometimes you can cover the week in theater and 39 seconds. we have quite a show here today. We've got Lin-Manuel Miranda. We have Miguel Cervantes, the actor who replaced Lin-Manuel Miranda on Broadway as Alexander Hamilton. It was the 10th anniversary of Hamilton opening in New York off Broadway this past week. And there were all kinds of celebrations going on in NYC. So we caught up with Miguel, who, went to Broadway when Lin-Manuel left and, performed it on Broadway and performed Alexander Hamilton here in Chicago for like 4+ years, something like that. Super nice guy. Wonderful, wonderful family. We'll replay that interview for you coming up later on. Another person very special to Chicago is Mr. Bob Odenkirk of Better Call Saul fame. He's got a new movie that's going to be coming out later on this week. We talked about that and growing up in Chicago and so forth. So that's going to be coming up in a little while as well. So we've got lots of interesting things to get to today between now and 12:30. But I'd like to start off with an official WGN email that came out this week. You know I love official WGN.
Inter-office memorandum?
Yeah, as Bob Collins used to call them from the memo fairy.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
This one, let me pull it up here on the old computer machine. WGN Radio today announced that Dave Ennett will retire as the sports anchor on the Bob Surratt weekday morning show, Drive Time show, and that Andy Mazur will assume the position August 28th of this year.
That's me.
I don't know why I find it funny that they use the term...
Assume the position?
You'll assume the position. Yeah.
Australia Animal House.
Ennett, whose two stints on WGN Radio encompass more than 30 years and will continue as the voice of the Northwestern Wildcat football and men's basketball games, broadcast on the 50,000-watt station and will serve as fill-in anchor on the WGN-TV sports desk. So congratulations to Dave.
Absolutely.
Number one. Fantastic, wonderful life choice. We'll miss him tremendously, hearing him every day on Bob's show. But how about our little Andy?
All grown up, huh?
How about our little Andy growing into the not only Morning Drive sports show, but sports director?
It's a very daunting task. I mean, there's huge shoes to fill. Dave has been synonymous with this radio station for, as you pointed out, over 30 years and two stints. And in my 20 years over two stints, he's been here for every one of those years. So it's going to be very strange not to be taking marching orders from him and instead being on my own here. So it's a little daunting, but I think I'm ready to do that. And I'm looking forward to joining Bob's show. We've had the opportunity to be on that show several times over last few years. So actually, I'm going to be on there starting again tomorrow as Dave take some vacation time before you retires.
Got to get that vacation. Yeah. Get those days in before you go.
Got to burn them, right. So,
I'm feeling sick. I better call in sick.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be a good challenge, and I'm certainly looking forward to what lies ahead for WGN Radio Sports.
Schwani, I think I speak for all of us here on the Sunday morning show, and that would really only be about three or four people. It's not that, but still.
Mm-hmm.
How happy we are for Andy, and how much we'll miss him on this show. You won't be...
Well, yeah, don't miss me too much early on, because I'm still going to be doing the Happen OB show. So for some of those early starts, the noon kickoffs, I believe I will be around these parts on this particular show.
Yeah, but not being like part of the regular broadcast.
Correct. And you know what? It was one of the first things I thought of. Like, man, I have had so much fun working with these guys over the last few years that, I look forward, and I've told you both of this. This first half hour of the show is what I look forward to every week, because you never know what's going to happen on this half hour of the show.
It's very true.
And it's so much fun just to kind of interact with you guys that have become
just
good friends of mine here over the years. And that will certainly continue. But again, I'll make some appearances here.
I don't know how Schwani's going to be able to cover news and sports every week by himself.
I'll give it a try. I have a newsroom to run. I now have a sports division.
Well, we'll find a suitable replacement.
I would like to see Schwani do both.
Well, maybe for a couple weeks we can let him do that.
We've got, you know,
for a while that was the case on Sunday morning.
Tremendous amount of money that we'll save.
That's a good point. It'll save me one headache of trying to find someone to fill in.
Your first job. Yeah. Finding someone to replace yourself
exactly.
On Sunday.
It's weird.
Could not be happier.
Well, thank you, guys.
Professionally and personally, there is nobody better than Andy Mazur. And I can't think of anybody more qualified to take over as sports director and Morning Drive Sports. That's a big deal.
Dark and I.
Yeah, it's huge.
That's a huge big deal on Bob Surratt Show.
And may I say this? I think it's fine.
Now I've been blessed.
I really do. I think it's fine.
Now it's official. Schwani thinks it's fine, so it has now been written.
Andy Mazur, born and raised in Glenview, has always had a passion for sports.
Yes, he has.
Particularly baseball and basketball and broadcasting. He was part of WGN Radio's broadcast of the Chicago Cubs from 1999 to 2006, before leaving to become one of the radio voices of the San Diego Padres. Upon his return to WGN Radio in 2014, Mazur called the Chicago White Sox baseball games on the station from 2019 through 2020. Mazur has also served as a college play-by-play announcer for Loyola University, UW-Milwaukee, and the Missouri Valley Conference TV Network. He was named 2020 Illinois Sportscaster of the Year finalist.
Yeah, that was weird.
By the National
mm-hmm.
Sports Media Association.
Didn't win, but was in the running.
It's an honor to be nominated.
That's
absolutely right.
Up there just the same.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
It's a big deal. That's when Schwani was nominated for the Silver Sow Award.
Les Nessman and myself.
Yeah, there was Schwani and Les Nessman.
Les won.
And then there's the old Buckeye News Hawk Award as well that Schwante finished second in as well.
Yeah, I guess that's...
That pretty much tells the story.
That's pretty much all there is to say.
Yeah.
I could read the part of the email where it talks about WGN Radio.
Yeah.
And our media contact. I can give the home phone numbers of our media contact.
Was there any mention of young Andy Mazur interviewing family members with Lincoln Logs as microphones?
No, there was not.
No, they left that part
out. They left that part out. Where they would run away from you when you would be coming across the room.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the game?
Oh, no. My dad keeps saying, you know, Mr. Mazur, how are the Cubs going to do this year? That's what I said. Apparently, I was even, you know, respectful back then, called my dad Mr.
Mazur.
You
know? Yes.
Your parents must be so proud, and Melina, your wife.
Yeah, they are. It was great.
Must be so proud.
I kind of let my folks in on the secret the night before, so that a lot of their friends listen to the station, listen to this show particularly, and I didn't want them to hear from somebody else.
Yeah.
As I made sure you both knew before what was going on.
I thought you were joking when you told me.
Well, you know, then I told Sarah, our PR person, to make sure that she followed up to make sure you knew that it was real. Because as you know, that email went out to everybody, not just you guys.
That I don't believe.
So it wasn't specialized.
Schwante, what are we going to do without Andy?
I know.
Well, don't worry about it yet. Don't worry about it yet.
Andy's often the voice of reason between the two of us.
The two of us.
Yeah.
And can kind of bring things back into the 21st century after our...
We try, yes. I definitely try.
Good luck finding somebody who can, you know, like bring the show back to Earth.
Instead of 1964.
After we go off on an Andy Griffith Show, Darlin's
Three
routine.
Stooges, something like that. Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a couple of Andy Griffith episodes where Andy threatens to leave.
Ah.
And Barney doesn't like it.
Wow.
You know what I'm talking about. Dean,
I am not. I'm not familiar with the show that you're talking about.
Oh, now he's in denial here.
I'm kissing up to Andy now.
That's good stuff.
Have you noticed since the announcement has come out that people are kissing up to you now that you're the sports director?
Yeah, I've heard from people that I never thought I would hear from. You know,
looking for a job,
looking for gigs. Yeah,
nice. That's nice.
Yeah,
that's
all of a sudden. It's well, hey, Andy, how are you?
I haven't talked to you since 1992.
Boy, oh boy.
How's it going? Yeah, it's been overwhelming, to be honest with you. Some of the people that have reached out on social media, and just our listeners in general, have reacted on social media, which is very, very fulfilling to me and heartwarming. And it's good to know that you know we've made a difference in people's lives and just entertained and. And they're happy for me, and I'm ecstatic as well.
Really, Andy took the job so he doesn't have to get up early on Sunday morning anymore.
Well, now I have to get up early every day of the week.
Well,
not just on Sunday.
So, that's true.
But that'll be a little bit of a getting used to. But luckily, my bride is an early bird. She's up at like 5 o'clock without an alarm. I don't know how she does it. I have like 6 alarms to get me up. I'm afraid I'm going to sleep through them.
Schwante, does he know that he has to wash and wax Bob's car every week?
That was part of the deal. My agent tried to negotiate that, but it was no sale. That was a non-starter.
That is a non-negotiable item.
Yep. I've also heard I have to call Bob if there's traffic problems on the way in. I'm not sure about dry cleaning at this point, but that's something we're still working on.
Yeah, and he likes 2 creams, 2 sugars, please, if possible. It's 9:34. This is the music that Andy will institute before all WGN sportscasts from now on. Once he assumes the position.
Just keep thinking about Kevin Bacon in Animal House.
Ladies and gentlemen. It's time once again for America's favorite, the far-flung forecast. I hope today's report is on the history of Andy Mazur.
No, but it's definitely involving some very important history.
Okay. Well, when I...
And that's important, too. Andy, you know, and the history of Andy Mazur's career at 720 WGN.
Well, here's what is more important than Andy Mazur. Today's WGN.
I'm waiting.
far-flung forecasts.
Thank you very much, Uncle Dean and friends. Get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices. We head more or less east-southeast from here to Annapolis, Maryland. Annapolis, Maryland is the capital, as a matter of fact, of Maryland. And for a little while, it was the capital of the United States. From around 1783 to 1784 until just at the end of the Revolutionary War, Annapolis was the capital of the United States, and then, of course, Washington, D.C. was organized. But Annapolis, Maryland is also the home of the U.S. Naval Academy. And among the people who graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis in 1952... One James Arthur Lovell Jr., who we just lost here this past week at the age of 97. And, of course, he was so well-respected and well-regarded here in the Chicago area, longtime resident, and still just an utterly astounding career with NASA, flying in two Gemini flights before the historic flight of Apollo 8, where he and his colleagues Frank Borman and Bill Anders went around the moon. And here is Commander Lovell reading from the Book of Genesis, Christmas Eve, 1968.
And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day.
I'll never forget seeing that on TV, that Christmas Eve, 1968.
Oh, yep.
Astronauts circling the moon, and we're looking back toward Earth, the first time we had ever seen it. And then, of course, in 1970...
Okay, Houston, we've had a problem here.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we've had a problem.
That was Commander Nevis. That's his voice there saying, Houston, we've had a problem on Apollo 13 when the oxygen tank blew up, and his comrades there, Fred Hayes and Jack Swigert, barely made it back to Earth, and against the odds, I might add.
Yeah, all depicted in the movie starring Tom Hanks.
Exactly.
Apollo 13, and directed by Ron Howard.
And I understand it's going to be released in IMAX theaters next month.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Was that planned already? Or was
it had been planned. Yeah, really? It had been planned. Yeah. Yep. And one more clip I would like to play here with Commander Lovell, who was honored by the Illinois State Historical Society in October of 2006, getting a distinguished award right here in Chicago. And we were honored to cover that dinner along with Commander Lovell. We had Milt Rosenberg, one of the honorees for that dinner also. Mm. But Lovell talked about how going around the moon, his whole outlook on life and view of the Earth changed, saying he could hold up his hand, stick out his thumb, and block out the Earth from the view. They were that far away.
Yeah. The Earth looks completely uninhabited, and yet you know that on spaceship Earth, there lives over 5 billion astronauts all seeking about the same things from life.
Captain Jim Lovell, truly a great man. We lost at the age of 97 this
great
past
American
week.
Hero. Truly, I mean, you know, the heroes, you know, are the phrase is tossed around. But you want to talk about somebody who was an actual hero, an inspiration to others. Captain Lovell certainly was that.
And a very humble person, too. Yeah. Despite all of his amazing accomplishments.
Super nice guy.
I had
him on the show over the years many times talking about, you know, different things. Always a gentleman, always self-effacing.
Yeah.
Very humble, considering everything that he's accomplished. An average guy. I've heard so many different stories from people, and every single story ends with, you know, he was such a great guy. So, our condolences. I knew his son. His son is about my age, who went to St. John's Military Academy in Delafield, Wisconsin. My best friend that I grew up with also went to St. John's. So it was through my friend that I got to know Jay Lovell. through the years. He's the one that opened that restaurant. Remember Lovell's restaurant?
And isn't he also depicted in the Apollo 13 movie as the young son that's...
Yeah, the little kid is the dead. Little one. Dad is going away, yeah.
And then toward the end of the movie, they're sitting in the classroom, and he's got this terrified look on his face whether or not his father was going to make it back to Earth or not. But Annapolis, Maryland, home of the U.S. Military Academy, where James Lovell studied in the class of 1952. A sunny day today. It's 67 right now.
Oh, 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 tell me, can you feel it? Tell me, can you feel it? Tell me, can you feel it? The heat is on. 9:43, Dean Richards Sunday morning. The heat is on. WGN. Time for the Week in Health. Dr. Jeremy Silver, emergency room physician, Northwestern's Kishwaukee and Valley West Hospitals. Dr. Silver, welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us as always.
Hey, good morning, Dean.
So we've got another scorcher of a day coming, like yesterday. I know we've talked about this so many times, but I think it's worth just reminding everybody the precautions they need to take and how to best mitigate a day that is going to be so stiflingly hot today.
Yeah, it's on the one hand, I'm daydreaming about February and thinking I better enjoy this while I have it. But definitely good to stay safe. And I think that the two things to be mindful of are the heat and also the sun. So apply that sunscreen, and we've talked about this before. You've got mineral-based and chemical-based, and mineral-based is best for little babies. And reapply if you're sweating, or every couple hours if you're not. But then the other issue is the absolute heat, and of course the humidity raises that heat index, which is how hot it feels versus how hot the temperature says it is. And the more humid, the less the body is able to release heat in the form of sweat. So it's really important to look for signs before it gets too late. We worry about dehydration and heat exhaustion and finally heat stroke. Really, it's a matter of degrees, no pun intended. But if you're really heavily sweating, if you're feeling lightheaded, if your pulse is starting to become fast, those are good warning signs that you need to get inside. And really, you can avoid that by staying well hydrated. And every hour or so, or if it's really hot, overnight, every 30 minutes, particularly if you're older or take event medicine, go inside, cool off, put a wet cloth on the back of your neck and head, and just take it easy.
Yeah, when you talk about sunstroke, heat exhaustion, etc., are there different symptoms for each of those?
Yeah, I think dehydration is simply that, and many of us feel that sensation of, God, I need something to drink right now. That is your body telling that you are needing water. Now, in older adults and people on various medications, and there's but suffice it to say, generically, people on medication, they may lose that sense of being just hydrated, and in a normal situation, 8 glasses of water a day. So if it's hot out, you want to 1.5x that. So, go up to 12. So that's quite a bit of water. Over a glass an hour during daylight hours. So,
Hey, Dr. Silver, I'm going to interrupt for just a second here. We're having some issue with the phone where it's dropping out. So I'm going to take a break. We're going to see if we can fix that so we can hear everything that you're saying. Dr. Jeremy Silver in his entirety coming up next. And we're in the middle of our Week in Health segment with Dr. Jeremy Silver. If you've got questions, comments, 312-981-7200. We'll get to some of your calls and texts in a second. I think our phone line is sounding a little better now for Dr. Silver. You're in the middle of telling us, precautions and what to do for hydration in this weather. And that always begs the question, Is water just as good as a sports drink?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, what I try and recommend to people is, you know, if you're, it's fine to drink water. But if you're exercising, if you're working out, good to replace with electrolytes, using them excessively on a hot day. So really, any of those standard drinks, and I'm not pitching product here, but a drink is going to be formulated in a way that of people with kidney disease, that is something you want to definitely talk to your doctor about.
Okay. It sounds like our phone line is not improved at all. We're still only hearing about half of what you're saying. So I don't know what the answer is exactly, but I don't know. I guess let's just move. We'll move on, I guess, to a different topic, and you know, maybe the phone line will improve. In this hot weather, what can people do? In addition, you know, obviously, stay in cool places if you can. But are people who are on several different kinds of medication at greater risk than those who are not in this hotter weather?
Yeah, Dean, I apologize if it's on my side. I'm getting the in and out as well. But the big to look out for, folks, medicines will know them, are things like diuretics that help keep the heart pumping normally. Particularly those two classes of medications, as well as some of the antidepressants, can reduce the ability of the body to release heat. And so really the key is, if you're, limit the outside exposure. And when I say limit, I'm talking when it's hot, peak of the day, you know, 20 minutes. Those are not the kind of patients that I would recommend going to the beach and spending 2 hours in the hot sun.
Yeah, those, if you're on you know, medication, do you really need to even be outside? Really, just stay in the air conditioning. What about the use of alcohol? You know, people say on a hot day, oh, a nice cool beer would be great. A nice cool beverage would be great. Does alcohol make it better or worse?
It makes it worse. Now that it's, you know, end of a hot day or after mowing the lawn, I don't think that's going to have a huge impact on public health. But when you got beers or alcoholic drinks, as a diuretic, and that simply means it makes you pee more. And that loss of fluid is going to accelerate dehydration and make you hotter and cause problems. And it also, you sweat effectively. And then again, you've got this effect of alcohol. So if you think about, you know, you wouldn't get behind the wheel of a car, but you'd operate this complex piece of machinery called the, and so it's going to be, you may not notice the symptoms of heat exhaustion. You may say, I'll be all right, I'll get some water, and you know you're in trouble. So that's why it's recommended to limit the alcohol when you're outside in the heat, for sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understood one word that you said in that response because of the phone line. I really apologize to our listeners. They were not able to hear everything that's going on here today, so I think I'm just going to end a little early and say thank you, Dr. Silver. We kind of got the idea. Stay cool, stay hydrated in this hot weather, because it is seriously dangerous. You know, I was out at the Bud Billiken parade yesterday, and I saw so many ambulances and so many you know, paramedics treating people who had clearly been outside for too long, and they needed to be treated. Let's hope that you listening right now do not become one of those. Dr. Silver, thank you very much, and hopefully we'll talk next week. Something for those of you at the Earth, Wind, and Fire concert at Ravinia this past week. That's Thursday night. Including the soon-to-be WGN sports director. What do we call you? Sports director-elect?
Sure.
I don't quite have the position yet.
No, I'm in waiting. How about that?
In waiting?
Yeah.
Sports director in waiting.
Not that I'm trying to push Dave out any earlier than he wants to be, because we're going to miss him.
Yeah.
I know I will.
I think he's already started the clean-out process.
Oh, really?
You know, Dave, and it's, you know, we are a city of cubicles when you
come
up here to the 7th floor. No, 18th floor.
Right.
We were
7th floor at the other place, yeah.
At the old dump at Tribune Tower. But we're nothing but cubicles up here, and Dave Ennett's cubicle, his office, if you will, is right adjacent to mine. And his is completely empty today.
Really?
No.
Well, I you will have a neighbor, a new neighbor. Because
moving in?
I haven't told them I'm going to be moving in there, yeah.
Moving on up to the east side.
Correct.
To a deluxe apartment in the sky.
Am
I right,
Shawnee? Yeah.
What?
Paying attention as always.
You know we do a show here every Sunday, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right.
9 to 1 every Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Are you mad because Andy's being promoted?
No, I'm not mad.
Mad? Were you up for the sports director job and didn't get it?
I don't think that was even remotely considered for the sports director job. You know, I would just read scores and say, I think it's fine.
I think it's fine.
And that would be the end of it. I don't think I'd last 5 minutes in that.
That might be an interesting new approach.
It's pretty good.
I think you're mad.
I'm not mad.
I think you are.
I am very happy for Andy.
I think you're mad.
I'm proud of him.
I'm mad that you're mad that you didn't get bumped up.
I'm not mad.
How long have you been here? How many years?
Me?
Yes.
This time?
Yes. Yes, officer.
This is 20 years this year.
Yeah. And how many times have you been promoted in those 20 years?
Including this time.
Well, I did get promoted to be the Sunday morning anchor to move in.
Oh, you consider that a promotion?
Yeah.
That you got on this show?
Yeah, I got on this show. Yeah.
The gangplank.
You're putting down your own show?
The gangplank of WGN. No, I'm glad you're here.
Oh, thank you. After all this time.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do without you.
You're glad I'm here. 14 years at this position.
Wow.
I think I found something new this week that separates people of a certain age from other people of a certain age. And that is spam canned meat. On my WGN TV cooking segment this week, I was making some Hawaiian treats in honor of...
Oh, that's right. You were talking about that last week.
Yeah, in honor of actor Jason Momoa, who, you know, I asked for a recipe idea, and he said he was talking about poi, the traditional Hawaiian dip, I guess you might call it, which I made. And before I made it, I said that it was awful and I didn't like it. And after I made it, it's still awful and I don't like it. And all I could think of was, I'm glad Andy Mazur is not here.
Yeah, because I definitely would have liked it.
You wouldn't have even gone anywhere near it.
No, I probably wouldn't have.
No, it looked like we better start spackling this wall. We better get the drywall up and start fixing this wall. That's what it looked like. And tasted about the same way, by the way.
Oh, wasn't that good?
No, it's not tasty. I don't know why people like it, but, you know, to each their own. I also made a barbecued pork, pulled pork.
Now, that sounds great.
With Hawaiian barbecue sauce on it. That was very tasty. We made some sliders. That was good.
On that Hawaiian bread?
On the Hawaiian bread.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
On the Hawaiian bread, exactly. And what else did I make? Oh, I made musubi. Musubi, this is the point that I was making. Musubi is a bed of rice, a slice of Spam, which has been sautéed in teriyaki sauce, so it's a little sweet, and then wrapped with a little piece of seaweed. And people, if you go to Hawaii, you see musubi everywhere. Literally, you go to McDonald's, musubi is on the menu at McDonald's. You go to any place, they sell musubi. It's I think, very, very tasty. And I made it. But I may as well have been speaking another language to some people of a certain age, a.k.a. younger people, when I said, it's Spam. They had no idea what I was talking about.
Really?
They didn't know at all?
They did not.
Had no concept of what it was?
Whatsoever what Spam is.
Very interesting.
Yeah. And I, you know, I made it. I thought it was delicious.
You still see it in the stores.
You still see it in the stores. It's still there. But it's, I think it's canned meat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like spiced ham, is that?
Pretty much what it could, yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
But it's canned meat. And when, you know, old people like Schwani and I were little.
Older.
Old.
Not old.
No, we're
older.
I think it's time you face the truth, Schwani. Hate to break this to you. It wasn't uncommon to have, we'd come home for lunch. Now, there's something right there, coming home for lunch,
yes.
Yeah, there's something the only old people did. You come home for lunch, and my dad was in charge of the lunches because he worked second shift. So he would fry up some. We'd have Spam sandwiches.
Mm. They were quick and easy
and delicious
and good. Yeah,
and delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Sodium intake was through the roof.
You were there. You were good for the month there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. But I just found very interesting that, for the most part, young people have no idea what Spam is.
Well, this is why you do the show, to educate them.
And then it got me thinking, when I said that Spam was in this recipe, several of the youngsters.
Youngsters? Now, there is a word that was used.
When I was a youngster, I would hear that.
Oh, you're a youngster.
Those whippersnappers. They thought I was talking about junk email.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's Spam. Okay.
Yeah. So how does...
A junk email or a junk phone call?
Text.
Or, yeah.
Whatever. So how did that get to be named Spam?
Interesting.
That is interesting. It must be an acronym for something. Has to stand for something.
I don't think I want to know what the S might stand for.
No. No.
Anyway, maybe.
Were you surprised by the fact that they didn't know what it was?
I was surprised that they didn't know what it was, and they were. This gets me all the time when people are unwilling to even try something unusual. Andy's gotten a lot better.
I have gotten better, thanks to my
Andy
wife.
Has gotten a lot better of at least trying something, but because in years past, and I think that's maybe why you got promoted to sports director.
Could be because I started trying new foods.
Because you ate broccoli.
It's all about the Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. I know that was a big requirement. Huge. Dave Ennett got hired, I clearly remember them asking, do you like Brussels sprouts?
Yeah, his is more, he's the kale man. He's Mr. Kale.
He is the Kale Man.
Yeah. Asparagus grilled.
I am the Kale Man.
Cuckoo, ooh, ca-choo.
Cuckoo,
I like the Brussels sprouts.
Andy's gotten better with this, but I'm shocked at how many people didn't even want to try the Spam and rice.
See, now, as I tell my wife, my biggest problem is not the taste.
It's a texture.
Well, no, for me, it's actually an over exaggerated sense of smell. If it doesn't smell good to me, I don't want to eat it.
Mm. Well, you might not go near the Spam then.
Yeah. If it doesn't smell good, I don't want it. Yeah. That's pretty much how I operate.
Somebody on our text line says that Spam is shoulder of pork and ham.
That makes sense.
Thus the spelling, S-P-A-M.
Yeah, shoulder of pork and ham. You slice it nice and thin and put it in the pan, a little teriyaki sauce. It sweetens it up a little bit on a bed of rice. Delicious. Can all the Hawaiian people in the world be wrong? I don't think so.
Well, it's funny, because they spent a lot of money on advertising recently with the sizzled pork and... whatever that is, right?
Here's a text that says there's nothing like Hormel canned meat. I think you guys need to do a road trip and bring back some Dinty Moore beef stew.
Oh, that stuff was so good.
Dinty Moore.
Good old Dinty Moore.
That was good stuff.
I love the old Hormel chili in a can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
That was so good.
Yeah.
Once again, the sodium content...
Several people on the text line are recommending that we get Spam Light. There is such a thing as Spam Light.
Didn't know that.
Reduced sodium Spam, it says, is great.
Who knew?
Next week I'll bring some in, and Shawnee, you can give it a try.
Yeah, please do. Of course, you never bring in food for us to try on Sunday. You make all this food. I knew sooner or later that was going to come in.
I don't like spams.
See, I think Spam was, it was a fairly common food, wasn't it? During and after World War II? I think it was. What are you doing, Schwann?
I'm typing. I have a newsroom to run. That's what I'm doing. I'm preparing for my 10:30 newscast.
Is there going to be an expose on Spam coming up?
No.
There very well could be.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're busy, then I'll just move.
I'm here for you.
I wouldn't want to disturb you.
Okay, I'm ready to go now.
Definitely mad.
What were you talking about there a moment ago?
Definitely mad because he didn't get promoted. We've got a disgruntled employee on our hands now.
That's not good.
Andy, that's going to be your first job as sports director. Bring him back. Chicago's very own WGN. Is the time, and that means time for the week in theater. What's going on stage in Chicago? In a couple of minutes, we celebrate the 10th anniversary of the opening of Hamilton the musical off Broadway before it went to Broadway and on to win every award possible. But let's start off with something local first, something local and to me, very disturbing, a letter that went out to subscribers of the Paramount Theater, both the Paramount and also subscribers of the Bold series there. The Paramount, of course, operates its main theater. It operates its Copley Theater, which is right across the street, smaller venue, the Stolpe Island Theater, where Million Dollar Quartet is going strong, and also River's Edge, the outdoor venue just a few blocks away. But a letter went out talking about finances. in the city of Aurora. And I won't read the whole thing, but I'll sort of cut to the chase here where it talks about, while final numbers are not quite confirmed, we've been advised, we meaning the Paramount Theater, have been advised that our previously communicated municipal support could be reduced by up to 65%. The change comes after we've already committed to programming and budgeting for 2026. I'll jump down a little bit in the letter where it talks about how cuts are going to have to come and how the Bold series, which is at the Copley Theater, at the end of this month is going to be terminated for the rest of the year, is going away. And there could be plenty of other cuts coming. I know that there were loss of jobs this week as a result of all of this very, very disturbing for one of the most successful theaters in the Chicago area. Tim Rader is president and CEO of the Paramount Theater in downtown Aurora. Tim, welcome back to the show. Nice to talk to you. I wish it was about a happier occasion, but this just must have come as a complete shock to all of you who have so successfully built the Paramount and all of its little sister theaters up over the years.
Yeah, Dean, thanks for having me on. Yeah, it was a shock. We knew that the city was having some budgetary constraints. We've been talking with them for months with the new administration that came in May, and they were very forthcoming and said, yeah, we're not going to be able to do what the previous administration had thought that they could do. I mean, they thought that they could, fill that deficit that we have, which is $7 million in 2026. The previous administration had this plan to build the City of Light Center, and we would operate, and that would, the operation of that City of Light Center would then be the way we would become self-sustaining as an organization. And with the new administration, the City Light Center has been put on hold, it's been tabled, and, you know, they communicated early on that they're not going to be able to do what the previous administration had basically promised. So we were kind of waiting for a number, and when we got a number, they said, you know, look, it's probably going to be no more than 2.5 at the most. We'd started, you know, we've been looking at what it would look like if different amounts were, allotted for us for 2026, and we knew we needed to move quick because we have, some programs that don't quite pay for themselves. It's the arts. There's a lot of things that just don't quite pay for themselves. And so we had to move very quickly on the Bold series. We don't know for sure what else will happen with some of the other programs, but we're still working with the city on trying to find out what that final number will be. And that's going to take weeks for sure.
Yeah. So what kind of immediate impact was there in addition to the Bold series running out at the end of this month and then the rest of the season being canceled? I know that, that there were many other consequences as a result of this, including many programs that will be cut.
Well, it was a hard week. It's probably the single hardest week I've ever had in my career. You know, we've spent so much time growing, it's been at the request of the city. We've always been a partner with the city, just doing whatever they've wanted us to do for the past 15 years that I've been at the Paramount anyway. And, prior to COVID, we didn't lean into the city for support. We had a head tax that we got from the casino. The city would collect that and give us a portion of it. But prior to COVID, we really didn't have an operational deficit. And it was very, the previous administration made it very clear coming out of COVID, they wanted us to continue to do not only what we've been doing, but what we were planning on doing, which is open the Bold series, open the Stolpe Island Theater, continue our growth. And right now with the current constraints on the city's budget, that's just, it has to stop. So, and we have to find a way to become self-sustaining, back like we were before, and we'll figure out a way. What it's going to mean though is it's going to mean things like Bold series and programs at our school will be affected, Classic Movie Mondays. There's all sorts of things that, we provide as a service to the community that we'll need to take a good close look at and see if there's a way to keep it, but maybe keep it in a different way. You know, just find a new path forward to make sure that we're, you know, being fiscally responsible.
Yeah.
Specifically this week, we terminated 17 of our 82 full-time staff. That's 20%. And we'll be looking at other reductions in the coming weeks and months, I'm sure.
The number one things that people have been asking me since I did this story on television and radio earlier this week was what will happen to the Broadway series, the main stage productions at the Paramount. Will Million Dollar Quartet be affected at the Stolpe Island Theater, which has been, you know, going gangbusters?
Our hope is they won't. You know, our Broadway series has always been kind of what has allowed us to do everything else that we've done, the success in the Broadway series. So our hope is that remains unaffected. Same thing with our production of Million Dollar Quartet at the Stolpe Island Theater. It's really doing really well. The word of mouth on that particular show is very, very strong, and it's hard to find someone that sees it, sees the show and doesn't come out raving about it. It's almost unheard of. It's got that sort of appeal. So we're hopeful it has no effect. That's our hope at the moment.
Now, the ironic thing about this is, you know, the city comes to you and says, we can't afford to fund you the way that we have been funding you. And what came to my mind is the city of Aurora can't afford not to fund you with all the foot traffic that you've brought. All people who are not normally in downtown Aurora coming to downtown Aurora to come to see a show. When they come to see a show, they go to have some dinner. They park their car. They're spending quite a bit of money in downtown Aurora that they might not have done otherwise had the Paramount Theater and its programs not been there.
Yeah, agreed. And I think the last study that came out maybe in 2022, kind of the economic impact of buying a ticket on the local economy is about $38. Is spent in addition to the cost of the ticket on local items such as food and clothing and parking and stuff like that. So, you know, we had well over 600,000 people come to our venues last year. We're on track to do more than that this year. You know, we had about 700 performances last year. We were on track to have about 900 performances this year. So, yeah, it is our best guess based on that calculator is about $23 million in additional spending in that from our patrons. And that doesn't include the $31 million that, as an organization, we're spending in the community and paying our staff. So there is a lot of economic benefit to having an arts organization like ourselves, you know, kind of doing what we do. Anecdotally, I hear from people all the time about how different, you know, the downtown is from what it was 15 years ago.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is. Yes. I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt, but yes, I know that from coming to the shows of how different downtown Aurora is now and how it's such a destination, how much people enjoy coming to the Paramount Theater for the quality of shows, for the beauty of the actual physical structure of the theater, financial ease to come and subscribe. I mean, isn't your subscriber base one of the highest in Illinois, if not the country?
Yeah, I think we're the largest in the country, and that I've not been able to find anyone that has a larger subscriber base. The largest used to be the Walnut Street Theater in Pennsylvania, but they really took a hit during COVID. They went from over 40,000 to 220,000. Their runs are shorter. They've kind of shrunk things up. So right now, I believe we're the largest in the nation. We're going to have a little over 40,000 subscribers this year.
Yeah, it would just, you know, completely break my heart if something like that happened to the Paramount. And I think a lot of people really agree with me that they love that they can come and you know, see a show, park easily, make a night of it, and not have to refinance their mortgages to do all of that. It's what can people do? I mean, can people do anything to help out, to write a letter or something?
Yeah, I think contacting the alderman and the mayor and letting them know how much they value the Paramount is the best thing that we could do at this particular moment. And, you know, and then buy a ticket to come see a show, you know, come to the Paramount. That's what we really need. That's our job. Our job is to bring people downtown Aurora to see the arts and support our local economy. And we're going to continue doing that one way or another. It just might look a little different than what it has looked like for the past few years.
Yeah. I know that when financial things happen, the arts are often the first thing to get hit. And, you know, to me, I don't want to say there's nothing more important than the arts, but it's such an important part of the fiber of any community, whether it's a small community or the community, you know, nationwide community at large. The arts are very, very, very important. So let's hope that, things pick up. We've heard so much talk about cuts in budgets, on a nationwide basis. Do you get any inclination that this is part of that, that nationwide cutbacks have trickled down now to the local level and this is being affected?
You know, I don't. That's a good question. I have not heard that, but that might be possible. I've not heard that, so I don't think that's the case. But I agree with you. I think sometimes the arts are undervalued, especially in a time when there's, you know, a lot of division and, coming to see a show, it's one of the few things that can bring people together. It doesn't matter whether you're red or blue. You come to see Come From Away at the Paramount here in a few weeks. You're going to have a good time and you're going to feel like you're a part of, part of the family, part of the Paramount family.
Yeah, exactly. Well, contact your, aldermen, contact your, the local officials in Aurora and let them know if you feel strongly about the Paramount Theater, because there are sadly, there are definitely some cuts that are coming. Tim, please keep us posted on what's going on so we can keep everyone posted. Good luck to you, and let us know if there's anything more that we can do on our end.
I appreciate that, Dean. I think I'm going to go. You've piqued my interest on some spam. I haven't had spam for a while, so I think maybe I'll head out and see if I can get some spam for lunch today.
You start serving that at your concession counters, and I don't know what's going to happen if that you do that.
There you go. That's right.
Tim Rader is president and CEO of the Paramount Theater in downtown Aurora. Thanks, Tim. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Dean Richards, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Summertime and the weather is going to be hot today again, as Schwani has been bringing us up to date with all the latest, and meteorologist Tim Joyce cooling down a little bit this week, but we've got another scorcher today. Got to take all the necessary precautions today.
And we're going to have more hot weather, just like we are this weekend, next weekend.
Oh, good.
This has been, I would have to say, temperature-wise, it definitely seems to be an above-normal summer. You know, we typically get 90-degree weather, but this has been, there's been quite a bit of this.
I think I agree with you.
And not only with the warmer temperatures, but with the air quality alerts because of the Canadian wildfire smoke, that's just added to it.
Very true.
Yeah.
That's been the worst part. I can take the heat.
But the smoke?
But the smoke has just been awful.
It's just hard to breathe outside.
Yeah, it's been terrible.
Yeah, it's just, it's very difficult. But I was spent yesterday. I mentioned to you guys that I was on the WGN TV float for the Bud Billiken parade yesterday, which is always a lot of fun, but it was just ridiculously hot yesterday. And, I did all the precautions. I was drinking fluids and, loosely fitted clothing and, all the things that you're supposed to do. The end of the day, I was still completely wrung out. I had, you know, SPFs, and I was sprayed and lathered, and you would have thought I was going on the barbecue. You know, I was so marinated yesterday. But so you got to, you know, just take those precautions.
You were marinated.
I still feel like I'm a little out of it today.
Yeah, a little bit of a hangover.
It's like a sun hangover or something. Yeah. And I had a big hat on with a big brim. I mean, I felt like I was pretty well protected. Not sunburned or anything, but I do feel lethargic.
And you know who else this affects greatly? Our pets. I mean,
oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
We both try to limit Otis's exposure to all of it, and you know, time on the blacktop in the parking lot of our complex. It's just, you know, you got to be mindful. I mean, if we're wearing shoes, he's not, you know, and it's so hot on that pavement.
Right.
And then in the very cold weather, yep. Wearing shoes, and
that's
he's
true.
Not.
Well, we put little booties on him then.
I've seen more and more of that, yep. People with dogs, sure.
Your Otis lets you put shoes on?
He allows us now. He did not as a youngster. And then he went outside and realized very quickly that we were trying to help him. Huh. And now he's very amenable to it with they're like the little balloons that you put on their on their little paws.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, so he tolerates it. Let's put it that way.
When I had my dog Lucy, I tried to put little boots on her. She was a German Shepherd, so they weren't little boots.
No,
they were, but she did not want those things on at all.
I believe
she ate one.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow. So, when are we going to meet Otis? We met Poppy a few weeks ago, and Mark Carman was here.
Oh, okay.
When that dog terrorized me in the bathroom.
Terrorized you?
Okay.
You mean Cujo, that Mark Carman...
You had other names for the dog.
Put in the... He hid the dog in the bathroom, and then it attacked me when...
Okay.
I went in.
Did not know about that.
What was the dog's name? Poopy? What?
No. I said it. Poppy.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I could not bring Otis here today or any day because
he would be the guest of honor.
He is so stimulated by everything. He would be he'd be a mess. He would be.
Keep him in the room.
He
with
would
Dean,
be everywhere. Yeah, he would be wandering the halls,
looking and investigating everything.
Yeah,
I think that would be pretty neat to have him here, though.
I'd have to have his handler with us. That's the dog whisperer in the family is Molina.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not a big fan of dogs in the workplace.
Yeah, I would be too. My attention would be too divided to be able to.
It's a lot.
Do that. Yeah.
That's a lot. It's bad enough we have Steve Dale running around sniffing every table leg that there is.
I worked in an office some years ago now where
I'm just picturing that.
A coworker.
Hi, Dean.
Who's a good boy?
Okay. I'm going to leave now.
Who wants a treat?
I'm done.
Who wants a treat? Is Steve a good boy? He's a good boy. What a good boy. Here's a treat. My name's Steve Dale. You're not the only one that does voices on this show.
There's a lot of voices going on in people's heads
Some in my head going on right now. WGN, Chicago's very own. And we are looking forward to bringing that to you as we are our conversation with our pal Miguel Cervantes. For 4 years, he played Alexander Hamilton here in the Chicago area. Then when Lin-Manuel Miranda left the original Broadway cast on Broadway, Miguel went to take over the main show on Broadway at the Richard Rogers Theater. Hamilton just celebrated its 10th anniversary, and we were happy to be able to catch up with our pal Miguel Cervantes.
Dean, how you doing, my friend? So happy to be here. Every time I see that video, I feel like, who is that guy? Yeah. who was that young fellow over there?
I think that was 2016.
When you took over
the role here in Chicago, right?
Yeah, they were auditioning in New York for Lin's replacement as he was leaving the first time in Broadway. and also for the Chicago production. So I got to do 4 weeks on Broadway as the understudy, and then we took over as we began the Chicago company. We opened in September of 2016 and ran for 4 years. 1,200 and some odd performances there in Chicago.
Yeah, and then took over the role on Broadway, and COVID happened, and like a million things that had taken place. But I mean, today is the actual 10-year anniversary of when Hamilton opened off Broadway. As somebody who is, you know, as much a part of this musical as anybody, what do you think the power of this show is that keeps it going so strong for all these years?
You know, I experienced it through all my time in Chicago. The audience, the people, the way it affects young people, the way it affects the older folks, the way that people are so moved by the historical aspect, the musical aspect, and then just the human condition and the story of these people making the country, and the way it all moves together, and the way that it looks on stage. You know, you can see through the staging how engaging it is, and I haven't seen the show in a very, very long time, and I'm going to see it tonight for the 10th anniversary. There's a big fancy party tonight at the Richard Rogers, and we're going to go see it, and I'm really excited. Because even though I've got 2,000 performances under my belt, I know how good it is, and I can't wait to get in there and get swept away by the story and the music and the lighting and everything. So that's why, you know, even for someone like me, who's got more my shots under my belt than anybody else ever, is super excited to get in there.
I was going to say, I wondered if you would be swept up in it all. Or, you know, if, you know, a song came on, you're like, oh, my God, if I hear this song one more time, I'm going to scream.
Yeah, no, I always thought it would be that way. But then every once in a while, I'll catch something on the radio or the soundtrack will be on. And I say, wow, that is really good. And it's hard to remember. Oh, wait, I did that. I said those words for a long time.
You did.
And it's really fantastic to remember, you know, to have such a great memory.
Yeah, you became such a part of the Chicago community and the time that you were here, more so than really any other actor that I can think of that comes to town to do a show. What did Chicago mean to you during your time here?
You know, I think of it with that, the Hamilton story and our personal story with my wife and our family was so intertwined. The way that the city embraced the show and us as the cast. And then as our daughter was diagnosed with epilepsy and her condition worsened over the time, you know, our partnership with Cure Epilepsy was so important to our own life and our own work and as a family for the community to support us and really lift us up in such a difficult time and help us in our mission, help us to do the things that we wanted to do. And it went so far beyond theater and so far beyond just, oh, that's the guy who plays Hamilton. You know, we became part of this, the disability community and the advocacy community. And that carries us beyond, you know, my final bow in the show. Kelly and I are still work with Cure, and Kelly's advocacy and outreach to folks grieving and dealing with these kind of things continues today. And it all started in Chicago, and it all started with this Chicago community. And that, for me, will be the takeaway that we have. That means the most to me.
Yeah, such a great family. You can hear the full interview. We've got it posted up, WGNTV.com.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
That song for over 50 years, and it still gives me goosebumps when I hear that introduction to the first Broadway musical and then motion picture. Jesus Christ Superstar started on stage back in 1969, I believe. And then became a motion picture in 1973 with our now friend Ted Neely in the title role of Jesus Christ Superstar. It is always a pleasure to welcome to this program our buddy Ted Neely. Hello there, my friend. How are you?
I'm now talking with you. I'm fantastic. How you doing, huh?
I'm doing great. Picturing your smiling face in my mind. Every time that you've been in the Chicago area, pretty much you've stopped by and visited with us, and you're going to be doing that again soon here in the Chicago area out at the Hollywood Boulevard Cinemas in Woodridge, September 26th and 27th. We'll give you all the information on that coming up in just a few minutes. But I need you to explain something to me here. The appearance is called the Ted Neely Farewell Tour. What means this, Ted?
Because we're faring extremely well.
Well, good. That's the best that I could possibly hope for.
Well, you know how things go. I mean, we've had some strange things with the fact that a lot of theaters have been shut down, you know, since back there during the pandemic days, and then now the streaming and TV is causing a different thing with it as well. But we've been doing okay. The bottom line is the theaters are a little worried about having people to come because they don't come. But,
right.
But when we advertise it properly, it's packed.
Yeah, people come out. They you know, they just want to know that it's going to be safe and that you know, what's going to happen exactly. So what is going to happen exactly when you're out in Woodridge September 26th and 27th? I know they're going to show the film. Are you going to do a Q&A afterwards?
Oh, yeah.
An intro?
Yeah.
What's the evening like?
This particular theater has always been incredible. And Bob, who manages it now, is a great guy. And we want to do everything we can to help him with the advertising. And he always has advertised great before, so he probably doesn't need any help. And the fact that theater is absolutely gorgeous, and it's like a museum.
Yeah.
Every time I go there, I just love being walking up and down the aisle to see all that's good. So I'm really looking forward to this one, man. I hope you'll be able to come as well.
I would love to see you. That would be nothing would please me more.
We'd love to have you as our guest. Definitely.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I saw some pictures online that you had posted of you with Cynthia Erivo, and you know, who just played Jesus Christ herself, which is rather precedent-setting, having a woman playing the role. Having an African-American woman playing the role. But from all that I read, she killed it. I heard that she just did an absolutely amazing performance.
She did. She did a perfect thing. And along with her, the man who played Judas, Adam Lambert.
Right.
The two of them were just magnificent. And I had never met either one of them. And, you know, they have it set up kind of like we do with VIPs after the performance. And we were up there waiting for them to come out, and there was a lot of people in the room there. And then when she and he walked out, the people went berserk and rushed over to sue them. So Yvonne and I were both, you know, away from that, so we thought we'd just watch for a bit. And it was great to see, and now we're in line waiting to get our turn to say hello. And when she turned around and saw the two of us, Yvonne and myself, she went, "Oh, my God!" And she just started hugging us and wouldn't stop. She started crying because we were there.
Yeah.
It was just everybody fell in love with her. And the performance that she and he did together looks like they'd been doing it on Broadway for years.
Yeah, you're talking about Yvonne Elliman, right? Who
appeared
with you.
But I mean, for the two of them, Adam Lambert and Cynthia Erivo, they just went crazy.
I haven't seen them perform this, but I believe that the production, if what I read is true, was more similar to the production that John Legend did on television. I don't know, a couple of years ago, something like that. Now, it's not exactly the same as the production that you guys put on, you know, back in the day, correct?
Yeah, right, right. Well, the thing is, it was a concert, you know, at this Hollywood Bowl, and the Hollywood Bowl was just running over with people. It was incredible. And everything they did, the people went nuts at the end of the song or in the middle of the song, you know, because they really did a great job. But they couldn't do the kind of things that we did because of the fact that it was an outdoor arena and it was a concert, established as a concert. Yeah. So what they did everything they could with a concert to make it as dramatic as possible. And boy, they sure did it.
Yeah, dancing. I'm a huge,
it was great.
Huge fan of both of them. So I'm not one bit surprised, and I can only imagine how moving it must be for them in these roles to have to see a couple of the originals from the the original Broadway production and the original motion picture from 1973
to be there. Couldn't be more sweet and kind and overwhelmed. I think you'll appreciate this. Whenever people started hearing about this was going to happen and that she was going to be playing Jesus, I tell you, almost every person that talked to me about that said, I wonder which guy they're going to get to play Mary. I fell down when it, and people said that constantly.
That's funny. That's very funny. Yeah. Gosh, that's great. Let me take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more with Ted Neely. The farewell tour is Friday and Saturday, September 26th and 27th. Out at the Hollywood Bowl Cinemas in Woodridge. Give you ticket information, tell you how you can get your tickets and show times and all the rest, all coming up in a minute.
WGN. Dean Richards, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
WGN 1149, Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Ted Neely, the original JC from Jesus Christ Superstar, on the line with us. He brings his farewell tour to the Hollywood Boulevard Cinemas September 26th and 27th. It's a Friday and Saturday out in Woodridge. A VIP reception precedes an introduction to the film. Then you'll watch the film and have a little Q&A with our buddy Ted. Sunday, September 28th, I'm seeing here. So it's that full weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 26th, 27th, and 28th. You can get tickets at tedneely.com. Tedneely.com. Ted, when you hear this music, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Smiling that I can't stop, literally, because it changed my life forever. Like Norman Jewison, just a commercial on just a second ago there about Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah,
that was Norman Jewison's film.
Yeah,
and that's the one he completed just before we started to do Superstar. So Thanks for that commercial. That's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the thing about it is, I was so fortunate. I'm a screaming rock and roll drummer from Texas. I had no theatrical training at all, and I was in California, and some buddies of mine were auditioning for a new show at the time. This was quite a few years ago, and they asked if I would come and see the audition so they could then give them a critique or whatever. So I went to watch, and whenever they called these five guys up on the stage one at a time, they would go, "Oh, that! Thank you very much." They'd only sing maybe, you know, eight bars. They'd go, "Thank you very much. Next." So all five of them got rejected. So they walked back up the aisle, and I'm standing there waiting to go back with them outside. They picked me up, carried me downstairs, down to the stage, and threw me on the stage and ran out of the building. And it was completely dark. You couldn't see anything in there except for the piano player. There was a light over that. So I get up to walk over, and I hear, "Are you Mr. Neely?" where's that coming from? My goodness, I would just said yes and kept walking. What have you prepared for a football, Mr. Neely? And I said, nothing. I came to see those five guys. Oh, well, do you sing, Mr. Neely? Yes. Could you sing us a rock and roll song? Let's see what you can do. So I just walked on over to the piano player, and I said, you know, Stevie Wonder's version of For Once in My Life. He said, yeah, sure. They let me sing the whole song.
Wow.
I was talking to the piano player, and he said, well, excuse me, Mr. Neely, whoever that voice was, he said, could you sing us a love song so we could see your passion and your vocal range? And I looked at the piano player and said, think same song, but Tony Bennett. They let me sing the whole song version of Tony Bennett.
Wow.
So they didn't hire those actors, they hired me.
Wow.
You want to guess what the show was?
It was it Hair?
Yes, sir.
Was it Hair? I'm just thinking of time frame, and I'm
yes,
I think that you I think you mentioned to me years ago that that you were you subversive hippies back then.
Yeah,
you were in Hair, but how funny that you got the role singing Tony Bennett and Stevie Wonder.
I sent them both thank you messages.
Yeah,
I don't know if they ever got it.
I'll bet they got muffin baskets from you.
Well, that voice that said, are you Mr. Neely? He turned out to be the director of Hair, Tom O'Horrigan.
Wow.
He then directed Superstar and Sergeant Pepper and Tommy. In addition, he directed all of that.
Wow,
and if
that?
It hadn't been for me going to see those guys, I wouldn't be in the theater business at all.
So did you get the job in Superstar as a result of you being in Hair? Is that how that
worked? He was the same director.
Yeah.
And he chose me to be it, you know, on stage. Same way with Sergeant Pepper as well. And, you know, if I hadn't have gone to see those guys, literally, I'd be bashing at the drums somewhere out in the desert because somebody would be there. Oh, yeah. So forgive me for that, but I just had to let you know.
That's great. How controversial was it for all of you back then? I mean, I remember reading the headlines that, you know, some people were outraged that how dare they tell the story of Jesus Christ set to a rock and roll beat?
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. And everywhere that we played when we went to Broadway, we were on 52nd and Broadway, and every performance we did was protested by people in the streets, so much so that we had to really push our way through there to get into the backstage to go and say, go
wow.
to the work.
Wow.
So now the producers all said, hey, guys, you know, there's a lot of people out there. Don't get crazy. Don't be say weird stuff because they might just punch you in the face. So everybody was afraid they were going to get punched out. So we worked our way through as quiet as we could, but I wanted to find out why they were protesting. So I finally made eye contact with this gigantic guy. And I just said, pardon me, sir, but could I ask you a question? He said, yeah, what? I said, have you seen our show? No, I wouldn't go into that den of iniquity at all. I said, well, if you haven't seen the show, what is it you don't like? He said, the title! And then he just went on and on and on about how terrible it was, and yeah. anti-Christian and all that. And when I finally got a breath for a second, I said, excuse me, sir, but could I beg you to come in tonight as my guest, watch the show, wait for me in the lobby, and when I come out, you can tell me what you don't like.
Right.
Maybe we could change that for you. And he went, what? You would do this? I said, yes, we're here to entertain you, not to push you away.
Right.
So he came in to see the show. We did the show. I went out in the lobby. When I opened the door, he goes, I love your show, man. I'm going to have people come with it. So that's the way it happened. And all those people were helping them advertise it because TV coverage was there every show for all
sure.
the stuff at the point. Yeah.
Covering the controversy. More stories like that, along with a showing of the film with Ted Neely. He comes to the Hollywood Boulevard Cinemas Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 26th, 27th, and 28th. Tickets are available, including tickets for the VIP level, where you get to sit with Ted and hear the stories one-on-one. TedNeely.com is how you get tickets. It's so wonderful to hear your voice, and I look forward seeing you in person, Ted, when you get here, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, pal. Thanks so much. I was just looking out the window here from the glamorous WGN radio building.
Yes.
Down onto the Chicago River, which I understand soon we'll be able to swim in.
Yeah. No thanks, but yeah.
do we want to swim in that river? Really? I mean, divert myself. They have that spray that's on one side of the river, on the north side of the river, that sprays like a giant, it's like a
fire. Oh, yeah, that big fountain, yeah.
It's just like a fire hose
spray.
And I thought, how nice must that be?
In this weather.
On a hot day.
Remember running through sprinklers when?
Yeah, that's what I was.
That was so cool.
I was just going to suggest that next week, let's do the show outside so we can run through sprinklers
and run with all of our electronic equipment. Run right through the water.
Get a slip and slide. And, have that fun. Diving headfirst into that.
Slip and slides were the greatest invention ever.
Oh, that's so cool.
How many injuries people must have from those?
A lot. Sprained ankles, broken arms.
Speaking of slip and slides, didn't we just have the anniversary of the greatest slip and slide ever?
We did.
At the Friendly Confines?
Yeah, 8-8-88.
Oh,
of course,
yes.
That was supposed to be the first night game at Wrigley, and the Cubs were leading, and the rains came.
It was like torrential rain.
Yeah, I mean, it was like Noah's Ark kind of rain.
Right.
And several Cubs players, including a young pitcher by the name of Greg Maddux, decided that while the rains were coming, to entertain the fans, they would go out on the tarp and do tarp slides.
Yeah.
And they both, all the players got fined heavily for putting themselves at risk for injury. And there was actually a bobblehead given away at Wrigley over the weekend, I think, or last weekend, signifying that event.
Commemorating the slip slide?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
The Greg Maddux tarp slide bobblehead.
You know, it won't be long until it's 40 years since that first game.
Yeah, it's 37 this year. It happened
37
last
years
week.
Ago. Isn't that amazing that we didn't have lights before then?
Yeah. The last team, of course, in baseball to have lights. And the old story goes that Philip Wrigley had intentions of putting lights up in 1941. And then the attack war on Pearl Harbor came. Yeah. And he donated all the supplies that they had to put up the lights to the Army.
So that's what happened.
Who was it that turned the lights on? Was it Rhino?
No, his name was Harry Grossman. He was a
long-time
91 years old at that time, but was a long-time season ticket holder. As a matter of fact, they said, because I rewatched it, Jack Brickhouse was the master of ceremonies for the event.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that Harry Grossman saw his first Cubs game in 1908.
Wow.
That was one of the years they won.
That was
the series.
Before 16, that's the last time they won it.
Wow.
So this guy got to lead the crowd and push a plunger button to turn the lights on at Wrigley Field for the first time.
It was amazing. I was there, and it was amazing to see the lights when the rains came. It was torrential. It was like Noah's Ark.
Yeah, it was awful. I remember watching it at home.
But didn't Rhino do something before the rain started?
Well,
or am I thinking of the next night where they actually completed
the game? I think it was the next night when they completed the game. They actually beat the Mets, and Rhino drove in a couple of runs in that game. I was just actually so funny. I was just watching that, and Darren Jackson, who calls the White Sox games on the radio, which you'll hear in just a few moments, he actually played in that game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I sent him a video of Vin Scully. It was a nationally televised game.
Wow.
So Vin Scully was calling his name. I just sent him the video a few moments ago.
Dean, you said you were at the game, but as I recall watching it, one of the very first shots as the broadcast was starting was of the sky.
Yep.
Showing those clouds moving in, wondering.
It was ominous.
Yeah,
it
very ominous. Yeah.
You know, there's one thing that the Cubs did right as far as putting the lights in, and you know, even going past that with the renovations and the video boards, they have done everything to keep it within style of that ballpark. The lights look like they're old-fashioned.
Yeah, they
do. They've been there for a long time.
Like they were there when they built Wrigley Field.
Yeah, if you had no idea, you wouldn't know that those were just, you know, built and put on there in 1988.
Relatively new, yeah.
Yeah, and the same thing with the bleachers and with the two video boards, not taking away the, because you won't find the score on either of those two boards, because the Cubs still want the focus of the score to be on the main scoreboard in center field that's been there since 1937. It's very tasteful, and I think they've done a nice job with it.
Yeah, it's amazing. But I remember, I mean, just the history of that night, I remember.
Yeah.
I remember the torrential rains and watching those guys, even though they got fined, even they weren't supposed to do it.
They're having a blast.
Just a bunch of, like, little kids having the most fun.
Yep.
In the rain.
And then there were a couple of fans that tried to get down there to emulate them, and they were promptly escorted off the premises.
Yes, I'm not surprised by that. All right.
Well, wear your bathing suits next week. We're going to be outside.
Oh, hey.
Hey, thanks for meeting me here. It's just, you're my only lawyer friend, and I need your professional opinion. Do you see that brand new Hyundai Tucson out there? That's all I paid for.
Let me get back to you on that. Deal's so right, it almost feels wrong. At the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Right now, for a limited time, you can lease the Hyundai Tucson for $239 a month or get $1,750 bonus cash. Offers end September 2nd. Call 224-661-0068 for details.
Mr. Ramirez, you watched the whole match from home. Tell us, how was the Xfinity Wi-Fi?
Elite. The Wi-Fi was booming throughout the whole match. Never had a doubt about its performance.
Is it true you had three screens going on at once?
TV for the game, tablet for the other game, and my phone for the memes. Everything's smooth. Xfinity Wi-Fi is like a Dutch midfielder. Never loses the ball.
And you caught every minute of the action. What about lag or buffering?
Xfinity has the most reliable Wi-Fi with their best equipment included. Just as reliable as you know who's left foot.
Enjoy live sports, telenovelas, and more in Spanish or English with Now TV Latino free for 6 months when you get Xfinity Internet with 5-year price guarantee. Plus, add an included unlimited mobile line for a year. Visit Xfinity.com/NowTV Latino today. Offer ends 9/30. Restrictions apply. 300 megabit Internet or above required. Now TV Latino and Xfinity Mobile require Xfinity or Now Internet. After promo, regular rates apply. Reduce mobile speeds after 30 gigabits of usage. Data thresholds vary.
When you're looking for replacement windows and doors that'll stand up to Chicago's extreme weather, look no further than Next Door and Window.
Next fiberglass windows can last up to 50 years. They outperform vinyl and wood options and deliver better energy efficiency year-round. Right now, get 50% off installation and zero interest and zero payments for 12 months.
So give Next a call at 844-600-NEXT or visit nextwindow.com today.
We're right next door.
Gold is on fire, hitting all-time highs. Protect and grow your wealth with gold and silver. PGS Gold and Coin is Chicagoland's number one trusted gold dealer. It's your top destination for buying, selling, or investing in gold and silver. With 5 convenient locations and thousands of 5-star reviews, PGS makes investing simple. Secure your future today with precious metals. Go to PGSGoldandCoin.com. That's PGSGoldandCoin.com.
PGS. PGS. When it comes to your valuables, they're the best.
It's David Hochberg from Home Sweet Home Chicago. Laugh while learning about real estate this Saturday at 10 a.m. Mr. Jennings, who are my guests?
Roy Spencer from PermaSeal, Mike Epping, CenterGuard Plumbing, and Jeremy Hogel from MegaPros Home Repair, Remodel, and Renovation Experts.
Download podcasts to previous shows and submit all your questions at WGNDavid.com. Home Sweet Home Chicago with me, David Hochberg, this Saturday at 10, right here on WGN Radio.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, an abbreviated show today. We can make room for a special broadcast today. The Sox and Indians pregame coming up at 12:30 over most of the station. But not before one more great A-list interview. On Sunday morning, we play back the A-list interviews for you, and we've got a ton of them today. One of the ones for which we were most happy was a sit-down one-on-one in-studio visit from the great Bob Odenkirk, who you know from Better Call Saul, from Breaking Bad. He was recently nominated for a Tony Award for his work on stage on Broadway in Glengarry Glen Ross. A couple of years ago, he came out with a movie that nobody expected from Bob Odenkirk, an action movie called Nobody, where he was very Liam Neeson-like, where he was very Jackie Chan-like, where he was very Keanu Reeves, very, you know, along those lines of just a fighting machine. And the movie was a surprise hit. He was great in the movie. The movie was really fun. And now this coming Friday, Bob's got a sequel to Nobody called Nobody 2, which will be hitting theaters. And we'll tell you much more about that toward the end of the week. But this past week on our WGN TV morning news, it was a real pleasure, along with Robin Baumgarten, and I believe Dan Ponce was there that day. We sat down and talked with Bob Odenkirk.
Good to see you.
Good to see you again. Thank you.
You, I mean, you just keep reinventing yourself. This action star stuff. Yeah. You really seem to love this.
Yeah, I do. I do. I was surprised at how much I love it. You know, I had a crazy notion that I might be able to do this because of the character I played on Better Call Saul, who was like a striver who never quits, mm-hmm. essentially an action character, except I didn't fight. And I thought, well, I'm in pretty good shape. This is before the heart attack. And I could train, and I'd be willing to train. And I put the word out, and we got a great writer, Derek Kolstad, who wrote John Wick. And he loved my notion of a regular guy and the break-ins in his house. And then he just explodes. And so it went from there. And I trained. I trained for years. And I was surprised at how much I enjoyed making the action sequences. They're really fun. And it's the closest thing to a comedy writer's room that I've done since I was a comedy writer on Saturday Night Live.
That's what I was
going
to bring into this.
Yeah.
That it's very John Wick action,
yeah.
like Nobody, like the original Nobody. But this one is really funny also.
Yeah, there's more humor in this one. There's actually more action in it, too, because of the director and also because Universal supported us so well with the production. And we got to make more bigger sequences. So Nobody 2 has got sort of more of everything that was in Nobody 1. But doing the action is a lot like a comedy sketch, you know. And again, especially in the second film with the duck boat fight, which is in the trailer, which is the closest thing to a Jackie Chan type yeah. fight that I've done. And I love Jackie Chan films, and I love Police Story in particular, oh, yeah. one of his early films, which I shared with my kids. And I wanted to do a fight like that with cleverness within the fight, like jokes within the choices that the fighter makes. And we got to do all that stuff and Nobody too. So
well, you're inspiring middle-aged men all over the place. Jeff Garland, for one, was watching you swim in Lake
yes.
Michigan.
I
and
know.
He said, what the heck is going on?
I'm not afraid of Lake Michigan.
You swam all like this and then swam back with those waves.
It was very wavy. I don't know why. And I am not afraid of the lake. And in fact, I love it. And I never swam there when I lived here.
Yeah.
And now whenever I come back, I dive in.
Well, I was getting in Naperville. I think we have a quick photo.
Sure. In Naperville, we swam at the country club pool.
Whoa, there he is. Look at this.
Now, let me tell you about that young fella right there. So, I don't know how old I am there, but I'm thinking that's my freshman year of high school.
Wow.
And I was...
hot.
11. Yeah. I was 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Freshman.
Because I was 16 when I went to college. So so when I was a freshman,
yeah.
I was 13
young.
Years old.
And that was
old.
Naperville North?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to ask you how you're doing since the heart attack, but
yeah.
clearly,
great.
If you're swimming the length of Lake
yes.
Michigan and
yeah,
doing
yeah.
action movies.
Well, I take my, you know, statin, and I take my aspirin, and I take my metoprolol. Come on, all you guys are taking this, right? Do you know what I mean? And the training actually helped me survive that heart attack because it kind of enlarged my veins around my heart. So the part that got shut down, I was still getting blood to my heart through CPR. So I have almost no scarring at all
wow.
on my heart, even though it was 15 minutes before there was an AED.
Oh, my God, how scary.
Yeah, and so exercise. Yeah. But I learned how to exercise and have fun doing it. Also from the training here, instead of it being a boring thing, it's an interesting thing. A big part of it I know we're supposed to talk about my movie, is engaging your brain. So if you can do like a boxing workout, that's really great.
Yeah. I saw you singing the seventh inning stretch yesterday.
Hey, you did it the right way.
You just sing it along with the pace. You're not trying to outshine the song. It was perfect.
Yeah,
was
the song is, you can't beat the song.
No.
Take me out to the ball game. And 99 bottles of beer on the wall. These are the classics. You cannot make them better. Pavarotti couldn't have improved upon them. He didn't go near them, by the way, in case you didn't notice. He wouldn't touch those songs. Exactly afraid of them.
How great would that be, though, if you went up in the press box?
99 bottles of beer.
Yeah, oh, let's go, everyone.
God. Oh, Nobody 2 comes out August 15th. Bob, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for having me. Great to see you.
Always good to see you.
Oh, God.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, really, really great to see him. He is just one of the nicest guys, completely unchanged from his days doing stand-up comedy, from doing writing. He created some of the most classic sketches ever when he was a writer on Saturday Night Live. And now he's a big action star. He's a big TV and movie star. Emmy nominated. He was Tony nominated for his work on Broadway. Things could not be going better for one of the greatest guys. He deserves every minute of all of this. The great Bob Odenkirk. He stars in this new movie, Nobody 2, which will open this coming Friday in theaters all over. And he stars with Connie Nielsen, one of the great actresses of all time. We're going to be talking with her Monday, tomorrow, on WGN-TV Morning News. So we'll look forward to bringing that to you, and we'll share all of this in upcoming shows, both on Bob Surratt's show, where I do my entertainment segment, and also here on the Sunday morning show. Speaking of movies for this weekend, by the way, if any of you got out to see movies, if you went to see the movie Weapons, that wound up being the number one movie at the box offices in its debut weekend, followed by Freakier Friday with Lindsay Lohan and Oscar winner Jamie Lee Curtis. If you go to see a Freakier Friday, I think you're going strictly for nostalgic reasons, probably, if you are of a certain age. I didn't think that it was as good as the first Freaky Friday movie that Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis did. How many years ago now? Almost 20 years ago, I think, that film came out. That this one lacks some of the charm and charisma that the original movie. I don't think it's fair to compare the two movies, but this new one that has just come out is kind of frantic. It's kind of manic. It's not. It would have benefited the movie to calm down a little bit and to concentrate more on the story. I think thought the story was a little bit weak. Now, you know, it's a body switch comedy. So, you know, I wasn't expecting a whole lot of reality in it. But, you know, nonetheless, I thought it could have used a little of that. I wound up giving it a Dean's List C+. So anyway, that wound up being the number two movie of the weekend. Fantastic Four, First Steps, the number three movie, and followed by Bad Guys 2, the animated film, and The Naked Gun, rounding out the top five movies of the weekend. We always talk entertainment on Bob Surratt Show between 8 and 8:30 in the morning, and of course on our WGN-TV morning news as well, where we'll feature not only the Connie Nielsen interview tomorrow, but later in the week we've got conversation with Pierce Brosnan coming up. And I'll be doing my regular Wednesday cooking segment. And this week I'm trying to, you know, do some recipes right now for things that are in season at the produce market. And, you know, we are in tomato season right now, trying to decide if I should do some tomato recipes or stone fruit recipes. And when I'm talking stone fruit recipes, I'm talking basically peach cobbler, which is fantastic and so easy to do on the grill. So one of those two will feature this coming Wednesday on my WGN TV cooking segment. All right, stand by. We've got White Sox baseball coming up. The pregame is next on WGN.